this morning, the Lord put on my heart throughout the week to talk about getting rest. And it's amazing how we as people, we've busied ourselves right out of a relationship with God. We really have. And I know I talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about prayer, but I can't get it out of my heart. I can't tell enough about how we really ought to stop and smell the roses in life. We really ought to, and I'm not talking about the Hallmark type rose. I'm talking about stop and smell the rose of Sharon and get your relationship with the Lily of the Valley. Get your relationship with Jesus Christ and get some rest in your life. I want to show you some verses this morning. The first part of them you've heard. The second part of them you may not have heard in this way. But while we're on this earth, if I had a dime for every time I've heard a person say, I just wish I could get a little rest. And then when I came in here this morning and heard the prayer requests that I heard, there's not going to be any rest for those five-year-old little boys. They're going to need Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, I am the God of all comfort. Only God can give them comfort right now. And Christian, I know they're in a tragedy, and I know that it seems like tragedies bring out the most prayer. But folks, don't get caught up in waiting on a tragedy to get caught up in prayer. Now, I want to read these verses with you, and I want, again, and you may get sick of this, but that's the way it is. I preach because I want it to affect me first. I want to make it personal to you. A relationship with Jesus Christ and what we're going to talk about this morning in getting rest is not something we can do corporately. And when I say that, what I mean is this: I can't rest for you. And I'm not talking about taking days off work and taking vacations. I'm going to tell you, you can work your job, you can work hard in your life and still rest. Now, I don't want you to rest during the message this morning, so wake up. But I do want you to understand this. When we talk about these verses and I talk about those prayer requests, it's no accident that today this is what the message is. It's no accident. If you look at Matthew chapter 11, I want us to all stand together. We're going to read 28 through 30. We're going to pray. All stand together. You can stand in turn. I think we're multitaskers in this day and age. Just don't try to chew gum, stand and turn at the same time. That's three things. We're going to fall down if that happens. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, you've heard these verses a lot. The Lord says to you through His scriptures, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brother Josh, can you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I want to point out a few things about these verses, and we're going to go into the Old Testament here in a minute, I believe. We're going to work on that. But for right now, I want you to look at these verses. When I read Scripture, when I talk about reading Scripture, and by the way, I believe tonight I'm going to bring a teaching message on how to read the Bible. I've been thinking about this for a long time. There's four different ways to read the Bible, and I believe I'm going to bring that to you tonight. And I, believe it or not, I've had several folks ask me, how do you read the Bible? I said, read the Bible. Well, how do you read the Bible? There's four different ways to do it, and I believe you have to do it all four different ways to get a good reading of the Bible. The Bible's not Shakespeare. The Bible's not any type of author that you can imagine. The author and finisher of our faith wrote this. It takes more than just turning pages to read the Bible, just to let you know that. Come back tonight, and I believe that's what I'm going to preach. Maybe not, but I believe that's what I'm going to preach tonight. But I want you to look at verse 28. When I search the Bible, when I study the Bible, when I read the Bible, I don't just look for what's there. I also look for what's not there. Because a lot of times you'll read what's there and then you'll add to it. A lot of times you'll read what's there and you say, well, because that's there, obviously this has got to be there. Well, that's not the case. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, I don't think it's there. I know that sounds simple and stupid, but that's the truth. And if you read this, I want you to look at verse 28. Let's look at the first three words. The Bible says, come unto me. Now, that's easy enough. Come unto Christ. Is it really easy enough, though? I want you to think. This is personal today. I'm not doing this corporately. I'm preaching to you personally, and I want to ask you a question. Come unto me is a simple statement, and I got to believe that it has a certain type of statement. Come unto me is a direct command to do something. With a result, by the way, at the end. But the first initial thought is, come unto me. Now, I got to ask you a question. Where do you find comfort? Where do you find rest? I find rest in my Tempur-Pedic mattress. I find rest in my home with my family. I find rest in a good book. I find rest at church. Some of you find literal rest at church. I find rest by working in the yard, or I find rest by resting my mind. I find rest. That's not where God tells you to find rest. God says, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. He's not saying, come unto Brother Bob. He's not saying, come unto Brother Dave. He's not saying, come unto Pastor Skyver. He's saying, come unto me. Now, God has made a very specific path that we can follow to come to him. It's called prayer. We, a lot of times, face the world every single day with every other source of comfort, but never seek Christ. This is going to be real profound today. I know you can tell that already. But a lot of people find comfort in the bottom of a bottle of alcohol. A lot of people find comfort in drugs. A lot of people find comfort in the internet. A lot of people find comfort. But let me tell you something. That comfort is not giving you comfort. Come unto me. It's not giving you rest. Come unto me. Look at these next few words. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Is that right? Did I say that right? All ye that labor. How many in here work? Now you can say, well, I'm unemployed. Let me tell you something. You work. Housewives, you say, well, I've never had a job. Let me tell you something. I don't want your job. You work. Matter of fact, I believe housewives work a lot harder than the house husbands. Well, honey, you don't know what it's been like to be with the kids all day. You come home from your job. That's the truth, too, by the way. Well, man, I'm so wore out from my job. And you might be wore out from your job, but it isn't like having the job of watching the kids. It isn't like having the job of coming home and taking care of the house. It's not like having the job of having all those things day after day after day after day staring you in the face. And here's what's sad. Today, the vast majority of women in the world have to work, too. You ladies, come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, you might say, well, Brother Dave, some of the jobs that these people have aren't that difficult. Let me tell you something. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Every person in here is heavy laden. You're heavy laden in different ways. You have different things that are in your life, whether it be your work, a job, or whether it be things at home, whether it be problems that are weighing you down. There's things in your life, every single person. And by the way, we've got to be very difficult as Christians to say, well, his problems are bigger than mine, or her problems are bigger than mine, or my problems are bigger than yours. Let me explain something to you. God gave you your problems because he knew what you could handle. Knowing that, why would God give me problems? Because he wants to see how tough you're going to be. I didn't make the football team because I didn't show up to two-a-days. You didn't make the army because you didn't show up to basic training. You're just not that good. You've got to go through some things. And I don't know why God puts us through the things he does. But I will tell you this. At the end of the day, he wants you to come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what? Read it to me, Christian. I will. Does it say I might? Does it say it may come? Now, by the way, it doesn't say I will make a way. I will give you rest. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, he'll take my burdens from me. Glory to God. The Bible nowhere says that he'll take your burdens. Nowhere does it say he'll take them away. But it will say he'll help you bear them. Look at this. Take my yoke upon you. This is after you've gotten rest. This is how you get, when you get rest, here it is, it's staring you right in the face, Christian. Well, I got saved. Certainly my life should get easier. Has anybody had that happen to them? I talk to a lot of people. Nobody's ever said, man, since I've gotten saved, my life is smooth sailing. I'm going to tell you, the devil almost like he's got a hotline. As soon as somebody gets saved, boop, 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 boop. Hey, devil, did you know somebody got saved? I'll be right there. And as soon as somebody gets, I tell them every time I lead somebody to Christ, I say, now listen, the devil knows you got saved. I don't know how he knows. I don't know what's got a network or whatever. He's probably got Microsoft Bill Gates on the hotline to help him out with getting news on that. And somebody got saved. He shows up and tears you apart. When you got saved, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think, how many went through that? See, it's like basic training. Here it is. I got saved, and now my washer broke. Thanks, God. I mean, come on, I just got saved. I got saved and my washer broke. 3 days outside of warranty. Now my hot water tank's out. And I'm, now my dryer's broke. Now my car stalls. And you say, where am I going to find rest? I'm going to have to work another 100 hours to pay for all that stuff. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. It's a direct command that you come unto him. You're not going to find it by working more hours. Come unto him. I'm not saying not to work more hours. I'm saying come unto him. I can't specifically speak intelligently on every person's life in here, but I can tell you that Jesus Christ does not make a difference between who you are. In this case, what I'm looking at and what is here is everybody come. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your burdens are. Everybody come. Everybody come to Christ. Why? Because he's big enough to help. And he knows what you're going through. Let's look at what it says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, that's a yoke. A yoke that God puts on us is to learn of him. And every time Brother Dave preaches, he talks about the word of God. I'm so sick and tired of it. Well, you're going to be sick and tired for the rest of my life. Take my yoke upon you, Colton, and learn of me. It's right here. Learn of me. You're not going to find him in any commentary book. I don't care how good it is. I don't care who wrote it. Go to Matthew Henry. I don't care who those guys are. Take anybody you want. I don't care if Dr. Skiver writes a book. I'm going to go to this first. Learn of me. Learn of me. And it's amazing to me what he puts after this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What's he trying to tell us there? Yeah. You're not big enough to solve your own problems. Learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. I faced Calvary and went there meekly. I think he faced a bigger problem than you and I. And what he's trying to tell you is this: I'm big enough to take care of the problem that you have. Have you talked to me about it? Have you come unto me? Have you come to me looking to find rest? And I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things, again, and I'll keep saying it, we've busied ourselves out of any type of relationship with Jesus Christ. Come unto me. Come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest not just for your bodies, unto your soul. I'm going to tell you, if there's anything in the whole wide world that Christians are at unrest in, it's your soul. Inside, deep down, you are going crazy. We are, and I'll get to how we take care of this in a moment, but these are very important verses if you break them down. God's trying to tell you, Let me back up. Why do you think he put these in here? Why? Because he knew you were going to need it. He knew you were going to need a place to go. He knew you were going to need a place to seek refuge, and you're not going to find it anywhere but by him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It didn't say he was going to take away your burden. It said he was going to add one. But that burden's easy. That burden's light. And he'll help you lift the rest of yours. Now, I want to take you back to the Old Testament, and I want you to see a nation that found rest. How many in here would like to have some rest this morning? How many in here would like to have a break from what's going on, a break from all those things? Listen, you may not get a break from this old world, but you can get a break and go rest with Jesus Christ. Come unto me. But there are certain things we as Christians, it's not just going to fall here. It's a yoke and a burden to find this rest. It's a yoke and a burden that we've got to come to grips that Jesus Christ, although he gives it to us freely, it still costs a price. And we're going to have to pay a price to find it. Here's the thing. To establish a prayer life, to establish a reading life, to establish any life that has any type of relationship to Jesus Christ, Christian, you've got to earn it. You got to go out and get it. Brother Dave, this is a drag this morning. Let me tell you, it's worth the work. It's worth the work, because the things of this earth will truly grow strangely dim when you come closer to Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm not telling you that I'm close to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you I need to take this burden and yoke on me as well. Now look at this. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Kings, Chronicles. I love to hear the turning of the pages of the Bible. I will give you rest. And, you know, I'm going to stop here for a second, too. Won't it be great someday to get to heaven? I don't want to sound morbid today, but one of two things is going to happen. Either the rapture is going to come or we're going to die. The rapture is going to come or we're going to die. Both things end up with us walking streets of gold. Both things end up with the wonder and splendor of heaven. Both things end up, and we can say what we want, but dying is actually being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be real honest with you, if we die, woohoo! And I don't want to die. I mean, I want to go to heaven. I just don't want to be on the next train. But understand this. I know that I've got a place that is waiting for me, being prepared or already prepared for me in heaven right now. I know that that's eventually going to be my destination. I know that. To know that gives me great joy to walk in this world knowing that eventually I won't have a mortgage. Knowing eventually I won't have to worry about the gas price going up 30 cents. Knowing eventually I won't have to worry about the next president, glory to God. I won't have to worry about the next meeting. I won't have to worry because, glory to God, we're going to go to heaven in a place where we have rest eternal. And we walk around this day and age in this world that we live in so trapped by everything. You ever feel like that? Maybe I'm the only one. I'll preach to me anyhow. You ever walk around thinking you're trapped? It's too much. This whole world, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm sick of hearing about the garbage. But at the same time, I know where I'm going. And let me help you out. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, you can't find this rest. Come unto me. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not saved today, and by the way, saved is not a Baptist term. Saved is a Bible term. If you're not saved today, you're not going to find rest because you can't come unto him. Not in this way, but there's another way you can come unto him. And that's by letting him be your Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's that saved term, you stinking Baptist. It isn't the Baptist. It's God saying that. Thou shalt be saved. And I'm thankful for that because nowhere in that verse, nowhere in those verses or that paragraph, nowhere in there, Lance, does it say that I've got to be good. Nowhere in there does it say I got to be a preacher. Nowhere in there does it say I got to be a Baptist, although I would never be anything else. Amen. Nowhere in there does it say that I've got to be right. And nowhere in there does it say I got to be right before I get saved. I've heard that lots of times, by the way. Well, preacher, I'll come to church as soon as I get right. No, get wrong. That's when you're supposed to be here. Wrong people are, that's who's going to fit in at Bethel. We're a bunch of wrong people. Christ wants us to be right, amen, he does. He wants us to be, and I hope and pray that you're working on that. But understand this, it doesn't take you right to get to heaven. Matter of fact, it takes you just the opposite. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what are you confessing? You're confessing that you're a sinner. You want to find rest for your soul? Get right and get saved. This is not me. God's asking you today. He died for you on that cross. Jesus Christ died to afford you the ability to get rest, that eternal rest. While you're here, you're going to fight like a dog. But when you get up there, can you imagine? I think about this all the time. Do you ever think about heaven? I think about heaven a lot. I really do. Can you imagine walking the streets of gold? I believe we're going to be barefoot. I don't think Nike has a contract with anybody in heaven. Walking streets of gold and the cares of the world you don't even remember. The fight to pay or the fight to earn or the fight to between families or the fights that you have with the people that you love or the battles that you face or the he said, she said, I cannot wait till that's gone. I can't wait till the devil's gone. The devil, the sin that doth so easily beset us. I cannot wait till that's gone, till that rest comes where you know that you're not going to have to worry about waking up every morning wondering if the whole world's going to plunge. Because I'm going to tell you, in heaven, it's never going to go away. I'm so thankful that one day Jesus is going to be in charge of the government, the everyday. I'm so thankful for that. But for now, we've got a battle. We've got a battle. And you got to ask yourself, Christian, would you rather have it any other way? Because I love to watch a Christian persevere. I love to watch a Christian fight and not give up. Fight and go forward, putting on the whole armor of God and walking forward and fighting and coming to the realization that even while you're fighting, you can find rest. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, there's a fellow named Asa. I'm likening this personally. How do I find rest? That's a good question, isn't it? We said, come unto Jesus Christ. But Brother Dave, I don't know how to do that. And Christian, I got to be honest with you. I'm betting that I'm not the only one that has said, I've got to figure out just how to come to him. Because by the way, let me help you. You're not going to come to Christ on your terms. A lot of people like to say that. I'll come to Christ like I want to come to Christ. I've heard many folks say that. No, no. You're going to come to Christ the way he wants you to come to Christ. How is that, Brother Dave? Well, I want you to look at these verses. Verse 2, chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Number one, Asa found rest because he did that which was good and right. Notice, in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to be careful now. I did that which was good and right, but in whose eyes? So you got to be very careful. We always do that which is right in our eyes. You don't set out the day to do something which is wrong in your own eyes. It just doesn't work that way. You don't start out the day to do that. You can justify away anything you do. We as humans are unbelievable at justifying what we do. We really are. We're unbelievable at justifying our wrongdoings. But God did not say do that which was right in Jack Knight's eyes. Mm-mm. He said do that which is right in God's eyes. Now, be very careful. You're not going to find that unless you search the scriptures. You say, well, I prayed about it and God told me to do this. A lot of people make a mistake of saying God told me to do this when God was never talking to you in the first place. You know, how many preachers you think are like that, Brother Bill? They stand up in front of their congregation, God told me. God told me to go and do this, and God never spoke to them one time. That's frightening. You say, that really happens to preachers all across America. God never told them anything, but they get up and they just cannot wait to holler, this is what God told me. Listen, if it's not right according to Bible, it's not right. Amen. If it's wrong according to Bible, guess what? It's wrong. It's hard. I mean, I'm being real profound this morning. I know you're picking up on that. You can't believe how intellectual this message is. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods. Now, what was good and right in God's eyes? First of all, it was good and right in God's eyes. The first thing, seek what's right in God's eyes. The first thing he tells you is that Asa took away the altars of the strange god. In other words, he sought after the true God by taking everything that wasn't truly God out. These altars, these were strange altars. And this is a time in the history of Judah that they needed help to get right. And I got to be honest with you, going back to the getting busy again, for the things that really don't matter, we get real busy in this world, we get real crazy about it, we can't even figure out what God wants because we can't even take a moment to say hello to him. God is saying, get rid of the stuff that you've put higher than me. I'm going to step on some toes this morning, so pull your feet back. What comes between you and reading this book every day? Oh, I'm going to let you think about it. I could stand up here and shout about Facebook. By the way, they just put out a new statistic. I almost threw up. The average male, these are men, M-A-L-E, male. The average male spends over an hour a day on Facebook. Are you kidding me? What about the above average males? Now listen, Facebook is a very powerful tool of the devil. Very powerful tool. I understand the social networking scene today. I understand, I just want to stay in touch. And I understand that it can be used for good. But let me tell you something, anything can be used for good. The vast majority of it though, if we come with the excuse right away, well bless God, I'm not going to stop. Shoot, you won't even look at what you're doing on it to see if it's wrong. Why? Because you're doing that which is right in your eyes and not in God's eyes. Somebody say amen this morning. So what we've got is this. We've got things like Facebook, things like just the internet in general. There's a lot of things that can take our time. And what we do is this. You say, I didn't read my Bible because I forgot. That's good justification right there. I'm absent-minded. I'm right with you. I'm absent-minded. Let me help you out a little bit. I've got a Bible calendar, and we're going to talk a little bit tonight, if the Lord changes my heart. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about how to read your Bible. In it, you're going to get everything. Let me tell you, in the Bible, that's where you find everything. It doesn't start out with the Bible, and then you interpret it to be like you want it to be. That's not what it is. The Bible is what it is. You read it, you take in what it says, and God changes your life through it. Now, knowing all those things, what are the things? Asa decided we're going to get rid of the altars that are in Judah because understand this, it is keeping us from coming to God. What comes between you and getting to this altar? As the amens stop. What comes between you and prayer? You say, Brother Dave, I'm so busy. You're catching on. We've busied ourselves out of this relationship, out of this rest. We've busied ourselves out of, and I'm not saying you can't be busy. I know what it takes to make a living today. You've got to kill yourself. Didn't used to be that way. 40 years ago, you could work 40 hours and support a family of however many you had, and it was just fine. Today, both people have to work 80 hours a week to be able to make ends meet. Although our ends are a little bit more extravagant than they used to be, let's be honest. But understand this, what God is trying to instruct us is you better get the things of your life that are keeping you from church, that are keeping you from reading the Bible, that are keeping you from prayer, you better break those altars down. If you want rest, I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says, because you're going to see at the end of this passage that it was rest on every side. Look, he sought out for the Lord, he sought out God's way, he got rid of the altars. Look at the second thing. He removed the high places. He took away the altars of the strange gods. He removed the high places. Those are the places that they strove to get to worship God. Do you know where you worship God? Boy, I tell you, the older I get and the more I'm in the ministry, do you want me to tell you where you worship God? I can help you. This is where you worship God. You worship God on your knees, realizing that He is God, realizing that He is the Almighty, realizing that, Brother Austin, He is holy. I heard a preacher preach one time, that's very loosely put, preacher. He preached one time, well, when I see Jesus, I'm going to go up and give Him a big fat hug and tell Him thank you for all He did for me. Brother, when you see Christ, you're going to be on your face praying to God He doesn't forget that you saved Him. He's going to, when you see those refining fire eyes, you think you're going to look Him in the eye and say, hey, Jesus, what's up? You're going to see Him and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I got here. You're not going to go up and say, show me your nail-scarred hands. First of all, they're wounds, not scars. These nail wounds, oh, show me the hand. You're not going to say that to Christ. You're going to be on your knees thanking God. Well, what do you think you're going to do here? See, we've got to get to a place where we get the high places out of our life and start getting on our knees and worshiping God. You don't need a high place to get to God. You don't need a high place. You don't need to come up here and stand up on this step. Well, I pray better when I'm up here. You pray better on your knees. Between you and God, a relationship, personal. Not, don't rely on Brother Carl's prayers for you to have a relationship. Don't rely on Brother Mike's prayers for you to have a relationship. Get your own relationship. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. The vast majority of preachers don't have a relationship with God anyways. Get you a relationship with God that takes out the altars and takes out the high places that have come between you having a relationship with Him. He took away out of all, well, I got to go back. Took away the high places in verse 3 and break down the images and cut down the groves. He broke down the images, the things that you hold highly. You know, it's amazing to me how highly we hold men. I have never seen more people fall out of the ministry because they hold a man up. And well, that, you know what, I love that Pastor Skyver. I'm sorry, I'm really warm and I'm going to sweat right through this coat. My Pastor Skyver, bless God, he didn't come and shake my hand. I don't understand. I'm turning away. You've got too much focus on men. I'm telling you, I've never met so many people in my entire life that can't serve God anymore because of what somebody did to them. And let me tell you something. In the ministry, it's difficult. People do stuff to you all the time. Your life is filled with people being wrong to you. Your life is being filled with people that don't treat you quite right. Your life is being filled with people that don't act Christian. And I challenge you to start acting Christian. You, personally, you. Oh, I know you're not talking to me because I'm a great person. Yeah, I'm talking to you now because you just lied to yourself. What I'm talking about is this. I know that people do wrong. I know that people do bad. But glory to God, there's going to be a day when you do wrong and you do bad. And you're going to would to God that somebody forgave you. What's amazing to me is we cease to serve God because of a person. That's an image. I'm using this image. You know, you say, well, that image was something that they worshiped. Oh, you're worshiping the image. But that image is you're taking away what you know that you should be doing. You know you should serve God. You're taking it away and saying, you know what, I've got my eyes on something else, and I'm going to keep my eyes right on that. That's an image. That's idolatry. Brother Dave, idolatry doesn't exist. Oh, it's filthy with it. Anything you hold up above God, high places, altars, anything that you hold up above God, and then you get your eyes on this image, this person, this thing, and once you get involved, it's like, Brother Dave, I can't function without, I say this tongue in cheek. I can't focus without hearing Brother Dave preach, and I know nobody believes that. But I'm using this as an example. Don't you dare come to this church saying that Brother Dave is the best, or Brother Bobby's the best, or Pastor Skyver's the best. I'm glad you feel that way about these men. But don't you ever hold me up as anything but a sinner. Because the minute you put your eyes on this image is the minute that it fails. And if you've got an image on a man, if you've got your eyes on a man and focused on this man, I'm going to tell you right now, God can't use you. You've got to keep your focus on God. He sought God by doing this. If more people would get their faces out of commentaries, out of Joel Osteen's Hallmark cards, you get your focus out of what men have done. Get your focus out of that type of worship. Get your focus out of what they have to offer and focus on what God has to offer. I'm trying to get you rest today. You say, well, Brother Dave failed me. Let me tell you, there's a whole party of people that can probably say that very thing. I am a sinner. I'm going to fail. Keep your eyes focused on the one I'm preaching about. Jesus Christ loves you today. He died for you and He wants you to have rest. He doesn't want you to stop working your job. He doesn't want you to stop working. He doesn't want you to stop fighting. He wants you to take on His burden and turn to Him because that's where you're going to find rest. Asa broke down the high places. He broke down the altars. He broke down the images. Look at what else he does. He cut down the groves. Now, groves are just a big set of trees, and I really don't know all the ins and outs of this, and I'm sure somebody a lot smarter than me knows all about these groves. But from what I've understood, these are groves are trees planted in a worship space, and they talked about these groves being something that they had the prophets of Baal. They had prophets in the groves. I didn't understand all this. But they didn't come overnight. That I know. Trees don't grow in 10 minutes. Now, let me tell you, and I want you to be very careful. A lot of times in our hearts, we let things grow. The root of bitterness springs up inside of us. Now, the reason this happens, first of all, we're sinners. Second of all, because things happen around us, and I understand that. But listen to me, and listen to me very well. You know inside of you what's growing. You know it. You know what is inside of you that is by the time you decide to do anything with it, it's an old rotted out oak tree about 4 foot at the base, and it took God to send a lightning bolt down to take the tree down in your life. By the time you figure out that this root of bitterness has grown up into a huge tree in your life, by the time you can't rest because you can't stop thinking about that tree, you can't stop thinking about what's grown up inside of you, you can't stop thinking about it. Let me tell you something, you lose sleep over it. Don't tell me you don't. Is that what God wants? I'm just asking. I'm not saying, by the way, and nowhere in here does it say that bad things won't happen to you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that people won't do bad things to you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that people won't treat you wrong. But what it does say is that you can get rid of all that stuff and focus on Him. It's not easy to cut a tree down, is it? But it might be easier when it's a sapling to get rid of it. What do you have growing up in you? What do you have? I'm just asking, what do you have? I know that there's things that I have had in my heart in the past that it become mighty trees that it took me a year to chop down. Just because of the fact that I knew, oh, they did me dirt and I'm justified to feel this way. And maybe somebody did do you dirt. Maybe you do have justification to feel that way. But is that what God wants? Come unto me. I'm wondering if we're going to find rest if we can't get rid of the groves that are in our life, if we can't get rid of the things that have come into our life. Number two, look at this. Well let's just keep reading. He cut down the groves, verse 4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Get in your Bible, see what it says. I'm telling you, it's so unbelievably thick in the Bible, you can't get away from it. Now, verse 5, also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Not only did he take it out of the direct around him, he treated his nation, and I'm going to liken this to your family. He taught his family to get these things out of their life. One thing that can hurt somebody quicker than anything else is when the house is divided. And I'm hoping I'm hitting home today. You husbands and wives, understand this. You better be together looking towards him. Because if you've got the wife looking towards him and the husband is looking over here, they're not going to find rest. I don't care if she's doing all right and he's over here, she's not going to find rest. And if the husband's doing that, he's not going to find rest. I'm telling you right now, he tried to teach his nation, we better get rid of these things. And dads, this is your job. Ooh, and the amens were non-existent. Amen, brother, it is my job. It is your job. You're supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household. Wives, you're supposed to submit yourselves to your husband in the things of God. Don't submit yourself to a Playboy subscription. That ain't of God. Don't submit yourself to looking at stupidity on the computer. That ain't of God. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. Ladies, your own husbands. I tell you, nothing drives me more nuts than having it thrown in my face how good some other guy is. And by the way, that don't happen in my household because I am... No, I'm just kidding. Nothing will hurt a guy more. Listen to me now. Nothing will hurt a guy more. But guys, do you deserve it? When my wife comes after me, I deserve it. I'm going to tell you right now, the vast majority of the time, vast, 99% of the time, when my wife comes after me, I deserve it. Because I'm not doing what God would like me to do. You've got to be together on this. You're not going to find rest in your home unless you're ready to seek it as God would have you to seek it. It might take forgiveness towards one another. And by the way, can I help you a little bit? A lot of people say, well, I'll just get Dr. Phil's book on marriage. Let me help you. Do you realize that every person in here's marriage is different from everybody else's? I am so different from everyone else in this room, and my wife is so different from everyone else in this room. How in the world can we say, well, what working for our marriage will definitely work for yours? Yeah, that's dumb. We teach that like we've got a handle on what marriage is. Let me tell you something. Marriage is difficult. It's two people that are different people that are coming together in one house trying to live with each other. And let me tell you something. I'm impossible to live with. Stop saying amen. That's the time when you don't say amen, people. Marriage is something, though, that is the same in this aspect. You still should work together to cut down the groves. Work together to get rid of the high places. Work together to come to church. Work together to seek God the way God would be sought. Working together to find rest. There's never more upheaval in a home than when a husband and wife are fighting over it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. No amen, but praise the Lord. Maybe this is what it's supposed to be. Help your house to do these things. You help your house to do these things by directing your kids in the way of the Lord, not letting them get into the world. Boy, I didn't even have any of this part planned. Oh, well. I watch more parents give in to their kids because they want to be buddies. I love my daughters. I love my son. Thrilled my heart yesterday when he asked me to go soul winning. Thrilled my heart. I would to God I could tell you how much my heart. And you say, well, you're bragging on your kid. If I can't brag on my kid, who else am I going to brag on? Brag on my kid, brag on Christ. That's really all I've got in life. But let me tell you something. I love my daughters. I love them both. But I'm not allowing them to get into the world while they're under my roof. You can get mad at me all you want to, but Brother Dave, you got to have compromise and this and that. And a lot of people look at me like I'm foolish. Look at me all you want to. I don't want my kids going that way. I don't. And you say, well, you're never going to, and you're going to push them too hard. You know what? They're going to look back someday, and if they go the wrong way, they're going to look back someday, and they're not going to say, my daddy pushed me this way. They're going to look back and say, my daddy tried to pull me in the right direction, but I didn't go. Moms and dads, your kids don't get a vote. And I'm going to tell you, this is preaching that doesn't go over very well, ever. Because they like to say, well, my kids are important. And I think that the opinion of your child is important that you listen to it. But what kind of decision-making capability does your teenager have? Think about that for a minute. What kind of decision? Well, my kid's really smart. Well, so is mine. But my kid, when it comes to things of life, are not smart enough to make that decision on their own. I go back to when I was a teenager. I was the smartest person in the whole wide world. Ask my dad. And I made wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision because I wanted to go against what my dad said. Well, you said, well, he was pushing you too hard. There it is, Brother Dave. Maybe he wasn't pushing me hard enough. So you got to understand something. I had the joy to be in the youth ministry for 10 years. I watched teenagers, and listen, boy, you're going to like this. Guess what your teenagers do? What they want to do. But as parents, we can make them do what they don't want to do. My kids are in church. I don't care if you say you force them to come. Whatever you, I don't care. Thankfully, my kids want to come. But if you want to have a family that has rest, you can put your hand, I don't want you to put your hands up, but how many families can you name right now that have had unrest because not everybody's pulling in the same direction? I'm 42 years old. I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're not getting rid of the altars, getting rid of the high places, getting rid of the groves, getting rid of those things that spring up inside of you, if you're not getting rid of those things, you're going to have a hard time finding rest. He took away, verse 5, out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images and the kingdom was quiet before him. Verse 6. Now, the kingdom's quiet. Amen? Did we not just read that? Look at this. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. He did all the things that God wanted him to do, and what happened? The Lord gave him rest. This is what I got to ask you. And let's read the rest of this real quick, then I'll be all done. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Brother Bill, why did God think that he needed cities and walls and fences now that they've got rest? Good Lord have mercy, Brother Brian. Isn't it enough that we sought rest? Isn't it enough? Now we're resting. It's all good. Why do we have to build towers and fences and walls? Boy, it's simple. Because let me tell you, just because you got to the point where you've got rest doesn't mean you're going to keep it. Why would you build a tower and a fence and a wall around a city? Because you've got peace. You've got peace in your land, because if you didn't have peace, you wouldn't have time to build a wall. Let me tell you something. It would take a certain amount of time to be able to build a wall and a tower and fence these cities. Take a certain amount of time and a certain amount of peace and a certain amount of lack of fighting. Let me tell you something. We don't spend enough time not fighting to take time to build walls in our life to protect us. And in this world, we're being fired at on every side, every day. The enemies round about us are trying desperately to take us down. But believe me, God can give you rest if you take the world and tell the world to go away. When's the last time you turned off the news You say, well, you know what, Brother David, I need to hear what's going on. You do not need to hear what's going on. There's not never one time to have a fireman rescuing a cat from a tree anymore. You don't hear hero stories. All you hear is death and horror and all these things. You're not going to find rest there. You're not going to find rest watching the stupid shows that are on TV anymore. You're not going to find rest there. Where you're going to find rest is by making a concerted effort to shut the world out and spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with God. And then once you get there, put a wall around it. Let me tell you, and I'll show you one wall in my life that I've put up. One wall. And I'm not telling you this to make any, just take it for what it is. I had trouble reading my Bible every day. What? I had trouble reading my Bible every day. I really did. So I decided that once I started reading the Bible every day, that I was going to put a wall up and I was going to protect myself. And I did this by setting aside a time. It's a wall. It's a structure. Our lives lack structure. It's a structure. Why do we have soul winning on Saturdays? To give you structure. To put a wall up and say, I'm not going to go outside of that wall. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to make sure I'm here to make sure I go soul winning. Make a time for prayer. Put up a wall. Put up a wall. Put more than parental locks on your TV. Put up a wall. Decide that, okay, I've made it. I've gone this far. I've done all these things to get this world in. If you've got alcohol in your refrigerator, guess what? You're not at rest. Get rid of the alcohol, then come to God. And when you come to God, I'm going to tell you right now, He will give you this rest. And then once you get this rest and you're here and you found it and you sought God, and there He is, and Asa got all his family right and had his family come back in, put up walls and say, you know what, we're not going outside anymore. And I don't care what kind of arrows bombard us, I've put up a wall. Too often we don't give ourselves safeguards as Christians. We don't walk around with the attitude that I don't care what people do to me, I'm going to serve God. There's a wall. I don't care what people do to me, I'm going to serve God, and I don't have to apologize for serving Him. And do I mess up? Yeah, I mess up all the time, daily, but it doesn't stop me from serving God. And by the way, it did not say, Brother Jack, that he had to have peace from those people to get rest. Hey, listen, I don't have to have peace out there to have rest in here. I don't have to have everybody liking me to serve God. I've set up a wall. I'm going to stay inside and serve God no matter what happens. And what we do is this. If you want rest, and I want to show, I want you to read this one more time. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We together, started with the leader though. We have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. These people, and I liken this verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear them. And what's sad is in our lives, we don't find rest because we don't seek Him. We don't find rest because we've got everything in the whole world. Brother Dave, you don't know my schedule. You're right, but He does. And He would really like to be part of it. God wants us as families to seek Him. And I don't do it enough. I'm telling you, I'm gonna give you I don't do this enough. I don't introduce my kids enough to the Bible. I don't introduce my kids enough to prayer. I don't introduce my kids enough to these walls that we've tried to set up in their lives. We don't do that enough. We should talk about these things. And as families, we should talk about the rest that is available to us from our everyday life. Let God in. All I'm asking you to do is let God in. You say, I'm too stubborn. Well, quit being so stubborn and let God in. This life that we have before us is too short. It's too short not to find rest in Jesus Christ. What are you going to do without your iPod in heaven? What are you going to do without your day planner in heaven? Good Lord, how much time do we spend planning for vacations? and in how long are they? You spend more time planning for your vacation than you do your retirement. It's amazing to me how we've missed it, how good God is and how much He wants us to be part, and how much He wants to be part of us. It's a striking, frightening thing that Almighty God wants to be part of our life. Why don't we let Him? Get the things out of your life that are keeping you from this. I don't know what they are. Just name whatever it is. You know what it is. What is keeping you from this? Come inside. Then once you get here, realize that it's going to be difficult to stay. And build you up some walls. And say, I want rest. And I want to rest on every side. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest unto your souls.